2012, and we are living the good life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are so glad you have each joined us today. It's going to be a great day here live in the studio in Clearwater, Florida. We are excited that you've joined us, and some of you may listen to this show at a later date on our website, which is www.beaconofhopeministries.com. So if you're not able to listen to the whole show today, that's a way to always listen to the shows. We've got the last couple of years on our website. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister and Connie Farmer to my right, Madeline Ercolano to my left. We call you Madeline Ercolano, don't we?
Yes.
And
she answers.
Yeah, she answers to that. And we are so glad to be here live today. It's fun. We've had a great day, January 1, 2012. And it's a beautiful day in Tampa Bay and a beautiful day to be talking about God. We're excited about the show, Connie, aren't we?
Always.
Connie,
always.
You had a party at your house last night for some Beaconites, and you cooked, and wow, a lot of good food. It was fun, wasn't it?
A lot of leftovers.
It was fun, wasn't it?
Yes.
Very. A lot of fun. And
I like having parties.
You like having parties, yes.
I like it better when we get in the pool, though.
Well, this spring, we'll have to do that and baptize some. We usually baptize out at Dunedin Causeway, and we had a couple of those big baptismals this past summer, Madeline, and we baptized like 19 people this last summer.
Many?
Well, yeah. 13 on one time and
one
like six
good.
On the other, or seven, whatever it was. I don't know.
Cool.
Anyway, yeah, it was great.
Squeak.
Yeah, there was a squeak, but I think we're better here. We're getting adjusted. We kind of ran in here late because we had nursing home ministry today. Madeline, would you tell our listening audience what nursing home ministry is?
We go over to Palm Garden,
yes.
Nursing home, because we've had a couple of friends and family
mm-hmm.
that got to stay there for a time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a church service once a month, the first Sunday of every month. And this was Milo's second time being,
your little doggy.
Being an angel.
Where is
dog.
He? Can we hold him up? Can we find him?
I think he's asleep under the chair.
Oh, he's asleep under
the
chair.
This is a long day, so.
Yes. But tell us why Milo goes to the nursing home with us.
Because he just loves ministering to people and being a little angel dog, and they just seem to love him. They just, you know, get joy. People who maybe aren't, responding so well will pet him and, you know, make
eye contact. We saw that today, didn't
him.
We?
Yeah.
Some people that weren't responding much at all. And when Milo came around, it was cool.
Yeah, it was nice to see.
Yes.
It was nice to see.
It was beautiful. And Milo's a tiny little white Pomeranian, and he's around here somewhere. And he's a part of our ministry.
He'll
and
join
he joined us
up.
This past year. And it's just cool, isn't it?
Yep.
To have that extra ministry. So some of you that are watching us on video are able to see this incredible blanket that Nan made for me for Christmas, and it's got pictures of our Beacon family. Actually,
well,
you girls, you want to turn that around
there.
And see if we can show it on camera? Nan, this is a cool accomplishment that you did. And we took a lot of pictures. Nan takes a lot of pictures. Believe me, she's our photog around
the triplets
Beacon.
Right in the middle.
The triplets are right there. Nathan and Yvette and myself. And we had so many fun times this fall. And so we've got pictures of Thanksgiving and our 10th anniversary, which was in October. And Nan put it all on a blanket for me, and it's really cool. So I walked in here last Sunday on Christmas Day to do the show with Nan, and then Carol called in, and Nan had this draped out over a chair, so it was a wonderful surprise. So anyway, that's really cool. So anyway, we're glad that you all are joining us, and hope you had a great Christmas, and Happy New Year to every one of you, and hope you survived last night. We actually made our Sunday morning service at 11 today instead of 10, just to help people out a little bit. But then we rushed to the nursing home. That's why we have Sunday morning at 10, not 11, because of what happened today. We're like rushing down the road, and it's kind of hard to do, isn't it? But it was great.
I was thinking, why do we do that? And then I didn't even go to bed till after 2 because we were cleaning up stuff. And
you mean why did we put the service at 11?
Yeah, because
were you grateful?
Well,
weren't you?
Yeah, I was. After all that, yes, I was.
Yes, because it's normally at 10 on Sunday mornings. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to join us at Beacon of Hope Live on Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock, not 11, 10. Our location is 3700 Almerton Road, and we are very easy to find right off of Interstate 275. Take the Almerton exit, go down just a few blocks. There we are on the left, right on Almerton, and it's all good. So we welcome you. And on Wednesday night, Madeline, what happens on Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope?
We have our Bible study, prayer time between 6 and 7. 7 o'clock we start Bible study, and I think we're starting a new series called Say What?
That's it.
This Wednesday.
Say What?
For the new year.
Say What? What's it about? What's it about?
I don't know.
It's about prayer and hearing from God. You know, say what, God? What is it? What are you saying? And learning to hear his voice in a very clear, powerful way, and realizing that hearing his voice to us individually, not just in a service, but individually, is going to be life-changing. So and that title's kind of wild, isn't it? But, you're going to help teach it a little bit. Connie, you're going to help teach it.
Yeah.
We got some cool things planned for our people on Wednesday night. If you are looking for a great place to go and study the Bible, bring your Bible and a notebook and come to Beacon of Hope on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We get done by 8:30. And it's always a busy day, Connie, for you and I. We have counseling in the afternoon with people. Then we go straight into prayer meeting, then straight into Bible study, then straight into worship practice for the praise team.
And then straight home.
So sometimes it's like a long day. But we love it. We love it, Luke. We love it. So, I ask you to put this song on as we start this new year. It's one of my favorite songs. Don Moen is a powerful, anointed guy. Mm-hmm. God will make a way no matter what you're going through.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to his side with love and strength. For each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
Let's sing it together.
Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be
might be here tonight. You may think God has forgotten you about your situation, but he hasn't. The Bible says that we are inscribed on the palm of his hand. And heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will remain forever. And he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think tonight. Amen. Let's sing it.
Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way.
Praise God. Oh, I love that song. We have sung that a lot.
You know,
Beacon
we've never used it on the radio.
We never have used it on the radio.
No, I had to download it from iTunes.
That's great. Don Moen wrote this, I believe. And Don Moen is a great songwriter and just anointed of God. We've sung that song a lot over the last couple years, and we've seen God make a way through so many difficult things in the ministry, but also in our individual lives. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Be encouraged, dear friends out there today, on this New Year's Day. Because God is going to make a way for you, and whatever you need to happen in your life, God is right here. We are starting a new series today at Beacon of Hope, and it's a 4G series, Connie. I like that. It's God's goodness, his grace, and his glory. God's goodness, grace, and glory. 4 G's. And some of you know that some of the computers and phones and all that have gone from 3G to 4G somehow. Mm-hmm. So whatever that means, I don't know.
An extra G.
So God's goodness, grace, and glory. Turn with us to Psalm 31. If you just tuned in, this is Living the Good Life, Beacon of Hope Ministries. Psalm 31, verse 19. How great is your goodness? How great is your goodness? Woo, right there. I love that. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. I love that verse. In the Message Bible, what's it say there, Connie? Starting with verse 19.
What a stack of blessings you have piled up for those who worship you, ready and waiting for all who run to you to escape an unkind world. You hide them safely away from the opposition. As you slam the door on those oily, mocking faces, you silence the poisonous gossip.
Go on. Bless God.
Bless God. His love is the wonder of the world. Trapped by a siege, I panicked. Out of sight, out of mind, I said, but you heard me say it. You heard and listened. Love God, all you saints. God takes care of all who stay close to him, but he pays back in full those arrogant enough to go it alone. Be brave, be strong, don't give up, expect God to get here soon.
Ooh, isn't that great? That's great in the Message Bible. Looking at verse 23 again in the Message Bible, love God, all you saints, love him. That's, you know, David is saying here, come on, guys, you don't have a choice. We need to be loving God. Love God, all you saints. God takes care of all who stay close to him. And boy, doesn't that go along with God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Mm-hmm. Madeline, are there times in our life that we're not sure that God is there? We begin to wonder, we begin to doubt, we begin to fear and wonder where he is and what he's doing. Is he over Paris someplace? Is he just totally left the scene? I mean, you know, there are times in our lives that we feel that way, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. But those are the times that we have to try to, you know, remember that we need to stay close to him, because it's the times when we're scared and alone. It's the times when, you know, we feel abandoned and unloved and like we don't have anyone there. And just because maybe we're pulling back and we're not hearing from God, we're not listening. We need to remember in those times more than ever to draw close to him, to listen for him, to stay, you know, stay in the light, because once we veer off course, you know, he's waiting for us to come back. He's waiting for us to look to him to guide us where we need to go.
Absolutely. You know, you just fed into what I wanted to talk about there, because it's just so perfect that we are the ones that get off course, you know, and we get caught up in our own negativity and our own lives and our own stuff. And we need to be reminded, and we are the best reminder is the word of God. So we're going back here. Psalm 31. I'm going to read it in the NIV. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. How great is your goodness? Wow. Goodness. There it is. That's a part of our new title here. God's goodness, grace, and glory. Verse 20 of Psalm 31. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling, you keep them safe from accusing tongues. God is able to just keep us safe from all kinds of stuff that people would say about us or to us. Connie, go ahead and read the rest of those verses in the NIV, if you will, starting with verse whatever that is. 21.
Praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. I love this. Love the Lord, all his saints. You know, it's a command here, really, in verse 23 of Psalm 31. David is saying, love the Lord, people. Love him. Love him. Love him. Because the Lord preserves the faithful, those of us that are faithful to his word and to what he asks for us to do. I mean, God promises he's going to just take care of us. He preserves the faithful. Praise the Lord and love the Lord and just meditate on his goodness. Madeline, we get so caught up in the things in life, don't we? And we forget some of these basics, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, it's always those times, that when we're having trials and tribulations, it seems when we should be, you know, remembering to go to the Word, remembering to talk to him, you know, that we veer off course. And, you know, I think I was just thinking as you were talking that a lot of times I think we get caught up in what we think we see other people are experiencing. For instance, you know, we see maybe blessings.
Right.
Come upon, you know, maybe fellow churchgoers,
right,
or family and friends. And we think, you know, I'm praying. Why aren't I getting my prayers answered?
That's good.
Or my blessings? But, you know, it makes me think that we don't know all of the facts of anything. And it doesn't matter even if we do. We have to stay focused on our path. And we have to make sure that we're not looking around us at what other people have or don't have. We have to go to God with what, you know, our
That's
needs
huge.
Are. And we have to trust him to give us what we need, not what the next person has.
That's so huge and goes right along into this Wednesday night new series we're doing on Say What, you know, because I think so often we don't know what God's saying to us. You know, we see, that's a great point, what he's doing in other lives. Mm. We don't realize there is a component there of what David says right here. Praise the Lord. It's not like if you feel like it, praise the Lord. It doesn't say that. Connie, you
praise the Lord.
And then on down, love the Lord.
Number 11.
It's commands. These are commands. Praise the Lord. Love the Lord. These
praise
are not
Lord at all times.
At all times. Mm-hmm. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's Psalm 34.
That's that Psalm Nathan wrote.
Yes. Yes.
I will praise the Lord at all times.
Yes. Yeah. And right there it is in Psalm 34. We're in Psalm 31 right now. But at all times, let's talk about that. Connie, I mean, when are we have excused absences from praising the Lord and loving the Lord? When do we have those excused absences? On a holiday or when we're on vacation? Or when do we get excused absences from praising God or loving God?
Well, a lot of people take them all the time, but we shouldn't really have any excuse for not praising him, because you know, we're supposed to praise him as though, you know, see him for what he's already done.
Right.
And it just hasn't shown itself to us.
Yeah.
But we should all the time.
Well,
all the time.
If we are concentrating on, let's say, Psalm 31:19, which is one I have written in one of my little journals that God spoke so strongly to me last year when I was going through a real hard time. And I wrote it down and I quote it almost every day. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up. This is Psalm 31:19, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. God's goodness is stored up, okay? When you think about that, you know, you think about, I have a pantry at home. It doesn't have a whole lot of stuff in it, but it does have my favorite foods in it, you know? And when I go to the grocery, I'll get 3 or 4 cans of Progresso chicken noodle soup, you know, the light one, so I can make, you know, whatever I make, you know. And I've always got a jar of peanut butter. Sometimes I have an extra jar of peanut butter. I always have at least one bag of M&Ms. I mean, this is my pantry.
See,
and behind that that bag of M&Ms is another bag I've stored up.
Lined up like DC-9s.
Yeah, I've stored them up. And then there's crackers, and there's actually some pasta, and there's actually some good things that are good for me. But still, I've stored up things so that I don't want to run out of those. I don't want to run out of peanut butter. When I start to run out of peanut butter, I panic. Or when I'm kidding, but it's true in a way. When I start to run out of dog food for Bailey and Zoe, I'm like, oh, got to go to the grocery. Got to get a backup, you know, bag because I'm going to run out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you plan for the future.
I do, yeah.
And make sure that you have everything you need, mm-hmm. because it's inconvenient sometimes to have to go to the store to get something.
Absolutely.
So if you have the backup, then you know, hey, I just opened the backup, so now I got to get some more.
Exactly.
When you have time.
So
it's planned.
It's planned.
You've planned your, mm-hmm. You've planned that so that you have a process to keep the supply coming.
Okay. So let's put that with verse 31:19 here in Psalms. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. Comment on that.
So as we pray and as we praise, the blessings come.
Absolutely. Madeline, comment on the storage of goodness. The goodness storage unit.
It's always there. We never have to question it. We don't have to go to the store. We don't have to panic that it's going to run out.
Right.
God is our backup, and
yes.
He's got everything that we need, so there's no worries.
So, but so often in our humanity, we forget how good God is, and we mm-hmm. and we think our storage unit is empty.
Yeah, well, and I know when I've had, you know, trials happen, it's funny that I do forget sometimes. I forget that the first thing I should do is go to God. You go through all your human emotions. You might be upset, or you're panicking, or you're trying to think, what am I going to do? You know, and maybe you start to write stuff that, you know, okay, I can do this. And you forget that first I should be going to God, because He has the answers. And then all I have to do is pray and listen and walk it through. But we don't do that because, you know, in our humanness, we think, you know, we rely on our, you know, our mind first, which is usually reeling in mm-hmm. in crisis or, you know, sad situations. So we just have to, you know, whatever it is, put up notes around your house, or, you know,
remind yourself
things that are going to remind. Leave your Bible open in places.
That's a great suggestion.
You're go about your house.
Mm-hmm. And, yes.
You know, I think I had shared with you the last time I was on the radio. I put up, you know, scripture verses around my house that are, you know, for me, those ones that ring true and that I need to remind myself so that I'm
right.
Wait a minute, let me, you know, I have them on my refrigerator, on my one on my mirror, you know, in different
right.
places in the house, so that, because I do need those reminders, because in my humanity, I'm going to forget and I'm going
exactly.
to do my, you know, brain roll.
The brain roll. The goodness is stored up. It reminds me of the storage unit we have for Beacon of Hope, which is very big because of the truck that ran through our building in 08. And so we are operating right now with half of our chairs and half of our platform and half of our speakers, etc. But we are able to manage fine right mm-hmm. this moment. But we are moving this next few months. We are going to expand the ministry and enlarge it and bring the other half of that platform and bring the other chairs. We aren't worried about the other half of the platform. It's in storage. Okay? We aren't worried about the other 75 chairs. They're in storage.
We know where to find them.
We know right where to go to the storage unit. We know right where to go and get them, and we will have a fun party the day that we bring all that into the new sanctuary. So let's apply that to God's goodness. And Madeline, you just said where to find it. Go back over that, because I think this is huge. When we realize the goodness is stored up for those who take refuge in Him. Do you want to amplify on that? Amplify on that.
Well,
refuge.
You know, after, once we can remember to, you know, to go to Him, to pray, then it's just easy because, you know, once you get that into your mind, now it's habit. Okay, oop, I'm not sure what to do, or I'm having a crisis, or something's going on at work, or everything. Actually, there's no wrong time to go to God. All the time is to go to God.
All the time.
And if you're just talking to him on a daily basis, then you won't even have to think about it because he's just constantly walking you through your life.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, wait, I have to go to God with this. No, I talk to God every day. So he's with me right by my side all the time.
And this is going to be huge as we start this new series on Wednesday night. Say what? Because
Say what?
Because I think a lot of times we don't know that God is talking to us because we don't have our frequency, let's say like on a radio, tuned to that station. You know what I'm saying?
Our God-dar.
All right.
That's kind of hard to say.
God-dar. Like radar.
Radar?
God-dar. All right, Connie. what happens? How do we not have ourselves tuned into the right station or channel or whatever? Why do we miss the storage unit? Do you know what I'm saying?
We're not praying. We're not.
There you go.
We're not talking to God. We're not just hanging out with him. We're not reading the Bible. Not staying in touch.
Go ahead.
Because once you connect, mm-hmm. if you stay connected through the word, through talking to him, just like we're talking now, to say, you know, God, this is happening and I don't know why, and you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like we have to get our hands and knees and you know, these and thous and thots and all those.
We can talk to God just driving down the road, right?
Right.
I mean, Madeline, was that a new revelation for you growing up as a Roman Catholic? I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. But did you grow up praying like that? Did you know he was with you all the time? Maybe you did. I don't know.
I don't know if I remember that. I mean, I knew, thinking back, I remember church was for praying, except like maybe like at night you said your prayers.
Okay. So that's
it's
when
not that
you
I
prayed,
didn't
was
know
at church.
I could talk to him
okay.
other times, but it just seemed like there was appropriate times.
Oh,
whereas now,
okay.
I feel like it's all the time, anywhere, and you know.
Amen, girl.
Yeah, it's definitely expanded, which is amazing. And even if you don't want to, you have a conversation. I mean, sometimes I get in my car and I can put in a CD and I can mm-hmm. just worship him that way, or just thank him and praise him. Just say that much, you
yes.
know. I'm just so grateful, and you know, because sometimes you don't know what to say,
right?
So just thank him and praise him, and you can't go wrong doing that.
Well, David says here in verse 20, what was that, 21 of Psalm 31? Did I read it right? Because I have my little tiny print in front of me. Praise be to the Lord, you know? In other words, we need to be doing this. And then down in verse 23, love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful. These are not just suggestions, Connie. These are requirements, commandments. Mm-hmm. Guys, if you're going to walk the way that God wants us to walk on a daily basis, there is some personal responsibility. You are the director of counseling, Connie, at Beacon of Hope. Mm-hmm. You know we talk about this all the time, personal responsibility. Do you want to amplify on that? What does that mean? PR is what we call it at Beacon, PR. But it's not public relations. It's personal responsibility.
You know, a lot of times people, let's say in counseling, they'll come and say, you know, I want to do this. I want this for me. I want to have a relationship with God, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to, you know, someday be this and lead this or whatever. And as we're talking with them and counseling with them, a lot of times we have to talk about holding themselves accountable and doing, you know, and doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
and which means just barely, I mean, just the basics is starting the relationship with God
exactly.
first, praying in the Spirit if they have their prayer language, and then reading the Bible.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised. People don't want their, whatever it is that they want, it amazes me that they don't want it bad enough to do the work. They want somebody else to do the work.
That's
for them.
Huge. What you just said, that's profound. That people don't want it bad enough. They don't mm-hmm. want relief from their circumstances bad enough to do what it takes to get to the other side of that problem.
Yeah, and what it takes is being diligent, being disciplined.
Yes.
To set aside a time. I remember when I used to work day shift.
Right.
I, instead of getting up at, 5 o'clock or whatever to get ready to go to work, I would get up at 4 o'clock so that I could spend time. I could send out devotionals and I could read.
Yeah.
And, and do all that stuff. And it, and I set aside that hour just for that.
Right.
And I was amazed at the difference it made in my life and how much closer I felt with God and how, and now that I work night shift, it's a different time that I set aside, but it's, it pays, like he says here, the Lord preserves the faithful.
Yeah, he preserves the faithful. I was just thinking about that when you said that. That is so right on right there. The Lord preserves the faithful.
And there's so many times I think that I could have been in trouble. I could have got some way or another, or, had an accident, or, who knows all those things that he kept me from. Because when you're prayed up, you're protected.
Yes. Preserves the faithful. Talk about that, Madeline. The Lord preserves the faithful. So that means there's a responsibility within us to become the faithful, right?
Yeah. And, taking that time, Connie reminded me, too, I used to be on a schedule like that, whereas I would get up early to do my praying, do my reading and my studying. And I'm not that regimented anymore. I still do certain things in the morning and, I have a little bit of a schedule, but I kind of liked being on that regimentation because, we give ourselves designated times for other things, like brushing our teeth, hopefully.
Right. And, yes. Hopefully.
And certainly that is, prayer is at least as important as brushing your teeth.
Absolutely.
And we do have to designate time, and it's not just for Sundays or for Bible study. It's, to keep us every day on the right path, to keep us open to what God has for us. How are we going to get it if we don't make that time, if we aren't disciplined
about
it?
That is so true. I mean, back on September the 12th of a few months back, I made a decision to go back to the gym, to go back and rejoin Lifestyles where I'd been for years and go back there and made a commitment. And I'm there now 5 or 6 mornings a week and early in the morning. And it has absolutely made me feel so much better physically, emotionally. And what I do when I step on that treadmill, if I'm not doing a workout, when I step on that treadmill, I immediately start praising God. And the place is so big that I'm usually in a little corner on a treadmill by myself, and I can actually sing and praise God in that big old gym. And then I just start praying for different people. And it is amazing. Then I know I've done that. I wanted to do that. I wanted to open myself up for that prayer time. But at the same time, I'm getting healthier. I'm feeling better, And it is that it takes that faithfulness to it. It takes that commitment to it, That's what you're saying.
Because I know I've talked to people before who said they don't feel like they're, I've tried praying, I've done whatever, and I'm not getting a response. But, it's not just on your time, just when you feel like it, once a week. You have to be,
consistent.
Always comes back to persistent.
Yes, it is.
It always comes back to that. How are you going to get, what if you don't do it every day? You're going to miss. I know I feel like, especially now, that if I don't do it every day, what am I missing?
Exactly.
So you have to get excited about wanting to talk to God, because what has he got for you today?
Yes.
What has he got for you tonight? It could be that time. When we have our time before church service on Sundays where the praise team goes into the office and praise.
Wow, is that wild?
I can't tell you that during that time, how many words I get from God.
Yes.
During that time, because of that intense level of prayer and that anointed time, I just get so many messages from him, particularly there. So I know that I don't want to miss that, because
right.
I usually get a lot of,
Oh, it's wild. And today we were singing the doxology, and wow, was that just beautiful in there. I mean, before the service, it was just that anointing just came all over everybody. But you're right. But you physically, I don't make you guys, the praise team, come into the office. I highly suggest it. But I don't make you. And it's your choice. I mean, but you're saying you make the effort, you go in there, and you're ready to hear from God when you go in there.
Yeah, you have to be, and you have to certainly be open to it and just ready for it anytime. There's plenty of times where I pray and I don't necessarily get a word, or maybe it'll come later, you know, but I don't necessarily get the same kind of response all the time. And that's okay. I still want to praise and worship God and let him know what's going on with me and, you know, let him know that I'm thinking about him and I want to, you know, communicate with him. So it won't be that every single time you're going to, get this, you know, epiphany of things that are going on. But certainly keeping that, you know, how many times have we just been talking about communication lately?
Oh, yeah.
Keeping that communication open, because it is two way, even though maybe we're just hearing our own voice in our head, you know, literally, because we're talking to God, we're hearing a voice in a different way. But that's communication, and we have a relationship with him that we need to be cultivating all the time.
And speaking of that, if you're in a relationship, or you're starting a friendship with somebody, or you're cultivating a partnership or marriage or whatever future down the road, that type of a relationship, it takes communication, doesn't it, Con?
Absolutely. There are so many times that things could just have been handled and settled if you would just talk about them. But people,
boy, isn't that true?
You know, when you go into a relationship, whether it's friendship, love relationship, whatever it is, you bring yourself with all your stuff to that relationship, and whatever's happened in the past, you know, maybe you tried to talk to somebody and they wouldn't talk to you, or maybe you got your feelings hurt because they made fun of you because you said how you felt, and you know, those kinds of things. But they, you know, if you're going to have that kind of relationship, you have to communicate.
You got to communicate, and it takes effort
at all levels. Yeah,
it takes effort. It's easier sometimes. People think, "Well, I don't want to talk. I'm just going to sit here and be mad," or whatever the case
right.
may be.
Or pout. So
pout. Yeah.
Yeah. So
pouting's not of God.
No. No. And you know, and just because, you know, and you can sit there and pout, and then everybody sees that you're mad about something.
Yeah.
And then hopefully,
what it
I
does
guess,
is draws attention to that individual who's pouting.
Right, and they look like a little kid.
Yeah, like a
there.
Little kid. Yeah.
Yeah. But communication is, you know, that's something that I was never good at in the past. And that was something in my relationship that I made the utmost effort continually to make it happen. Because right. it, you know, even if it's just talking about something that happened during the day or what you felt about it or whatever, but making sure that the other person has that same amount
Absolutely.
Of airtime too.
Yes.
And freedom without that what's the word? Judgment.
Judgment, yeah.
You know, you can just say what you need to say.
You know, one of the joys for me in pastoring is marrying and burying. I like to do funerals and I like to do weddings, and I seriously do, because it's such a wonderful intimate time with the family, mm-hmm. and you get to know people on a different level, and you're able to really minister into their situation right where they are, you know. Mm-hmm. But I've done so many weddings and funerals through the years, but the weddings, I almost always I you know, there's stuff I write out and whatever, and then I leave a place where I just talk to them in front of everybody else. And I just ad lib it and talk, but I find, and I've found through the years, there's two words I always say during the ad lib times in the weddings, and that's communication and trust. Mm-hmm. Communication and
exactly.
trust. And if you don't communicate, how can you ever develop the trust? And if you don't trust, you're not going to communicate.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
Because if you don't trust, you don't want to make yourself vulnerable and open up. Go ahead. You want to comment on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And, you know, so certainly to communicate with God, you know, you don't have to worry. We can trust God.
Amen.
And we know that he has our best interests at heart.
Yes.
So we just have to be willing and able and disciplined and consistent and just meet him. And it doesn't matter where. There's no
Absolutely.
Rules about, you know, like I thought, I gotta remember that for church on Sunday. You know, so that when I go and I can talk to God, because that regimentation of that, you know, the Catholic Church, I guess I did think there was, you know, appropriate time and place. And it's so great
wow.
now that there's no limitation.
It's all freedom.
In my car and when I'm getting ready
yes.
for work and all that, you
Just
know.
Just talk
time.
To him, mm-hmm. sing, talk to him, wake up in the middle of the night and talk to him. He tells me so much stuff in the middle of the night. Because I think part of it is because I'm, you know, I'm not trying to figure something out, or I'm not sitting at the desk answering a phone call or whatever. And I wake up and then I hear this, blah, 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 you know, that he's trying to tell me. Invariably, he gives me the sermon, you know, for where we're going on Sunday, or the teaching or whatever. In the middle of the night when I'm like, and I wake up and go, oh, well, good idea. All right, cool. You know, because
I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, my attempt to figure it out is kind of turned off while I'm sleeping. You have a comment to that?
Yeah, it just kind of lays down your all your boundaries.
Yeah, it does. It's just cool. Defenses. I mean, I hear so much in the middle of the night. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then I always, because I don't want to get up and get a piece of paper if I should put one by my bed, but I will invariably just say, okay, God, you have to remind me of this tomorrow. And he always does, you know.
Does he?
Learning to be the light, new world, sun.
This is a fantastic,
I've never heard this song.
New song. New, it's new, and it is so good.
Connie's our director of music. We're going to trust her on this. Let's hear it.
When the stars came crashing down in tiny pieces to the ground, I was all alone down here, trapped beneath the atmosphere. Then I thought somebody called my name. I spun around and caught a flame. I gave in to a God I didn't know. And now everything is falling into place. A brand new life is calling and I owe it all to grace. You did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, I'm learning to be the light. Oh, oh, I'm learning to be the light. Melted with advice. No one wants to listen to a list of things they shouldn't do. So I build a city on a hill and I light a candle on the sill, knowing you'll be always knocking at the door. Oh God, I just want to love on everyone. All I have is yours to give. So let the people come. It's so much brighter living in your world. Save you what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, I'm learning to be the light. The shadows hide, the light that breaks the curse of pride, the light that takes the weary in its arms. When it all came crashing down, there was only darkness all around, but in the distance I could see a flame. It's so much brighter living in your world. Save you what you did for me.
Great song. Never heard that. That's a new one. That's great. Learning to be the light. That is what God has called us to be. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And that's what it's all about. We are learning to be that light. We're going to run over to James chapter 1, 16 and 17, because these are the memory verses for the month of January. Da-da-da. Here we go. James 1, 16 and 17. We're going to read it in the NIV, and then Connie will read it here in the Message in a minute. James 1, 16 and 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all he created. So every good and perfect gift, we're talking this month about gifts. We're talking about, I know you say, well, Christmas is just over. That's okay. We're talking about greater gifts than Christmas presents. We're talking about gifts, God's goodness, his grace, and his glory. That's what we're talking about, and they're all gifts. Guess it's 5G somehow. All right, so let's hear it in the Message Bible, Connie, verses 16 through 17.
Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of his creatures.
Ooh, he brought us to life using the word, okay? So I love Psalm 119 something or other. I'm thinking it's verse 50 where it says, thy word has revived me and given me life. Okay. We know Psalm 119, that whole chapter all talks about the word. One of those verses in there says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Another verse in there is Psalm 100 I think it's Psalm 119, verse 105. But anyway, the Lord is a light, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay. We're talking about the word of God being that light that we all need. And we're going to amplify on that in the next hour. But Madeline, why do we need this light? Why is it that God chooses to reveal things to us? How does this happen? And where does light come into this? How does he reveal himself to us?
Well, I mean, we're talking, number one, about the word. I mean,
yes.
It's all right there. Anything we want to know about God and how we need to live our lives.
Yes.
It's there. So it's a no-brainer. We don't have to worry about mm-hmm. what do we have to do. Mm-hmm. We just have to read scripture and we know what we have to do. And, you know, I think to myself, we're, you know, humans, all of us are walking around essentially in darkness.
Right.
I mean, we're put here on this earth and, you know, before we know kind of what's going on and we get to know God and kind of read the Bible and know what we need to do. I mean, I was walking around not reading the Bible for, I guess, about 35 years,
right,
really.
Exactly.
I mean, other than maybe a little bit of New Testament here and there, but not in depth and not trying to study and understand. So, I mean, I was walking around in the dark,
yeah.
You know, just thinking, well, you know, I go to church on Sunday and I pray. And,
right.
You know, it was all very not purposeful.
Exactly.
You know, it was all just very kind of robotic.
Right.
That's kind of how I look at my old self. Is,
and kind of random.
Know,
I mean,
letting life happen to me.
Yes.
You know, not really knowing what I needed mm-hmm. to do. And you know, I credit it to coming to Beacon, and God led me to Beacon, obviously. And, you know, understanding now what I need to do and understanding scripture and going to Bible study so that I can understand it, because it's still kind of new to me. And the Message Bible was a huge help for me. I love the Message Bible.
I do too.
It's just,
mm-hmm.
it's that, you know, plain speak for me, someone who wasn't Bible savvy to just kind of get it. And
yes.
And I have one like Connie has, which it's the Message and the NIV.
And that's
and
great,
I do
the
find
parallel
myself
Bible.
Liking to look at both, you know,
yeah.
and seeing, you know, the different words. Usually I really love the Message because it's just that plain,
it's
right
straight.
To the point.
Yeah.
Sometimes like the verse you just read now, I thought that was really beautiful.
Yes.
I liked the word choices and things.
Right.
So, you know, we're all just walking around in the dark until we decide purposefully, okay,
yeah.
I want to live my life the way God has planned it for me. So now, and how easy is that? I don't even have to think about it. I don't have to plan.
That's profound. What you're saying right now, that
exactly.
is profound.
It's so much easier
it really
to
is.
Go to him and say, okay, Lord, I'm here. What
yes.
what gifts have you given me? How am I going to use those
yes.
to go through my life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, put the light on the path that you have for me.
Oh.
Wow. And I don't have to think. I just have to do.
But that is what, that's where David says, you know, all of this goodness is stored up for those who put their trust in him. And that's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
And doesn't that, I mean, just the thought of that, when you're, especially in your worst circumstances, whatever those are as they come up throughout life, I mean, isn't that great to have that, to know God is going to get me through this. I don't have to figure
it out. Exactly.
I don't have to sit here and stress about, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to handle it? No, just trust that God knows, and I have to be open to that.
It's that laying back in his arms. Go ahead.
Yeah, you just have to acknowledge that he has our best interest at heart,
right?
And that his hand is in everything.
It is. But, Connie, so many times we don't get that. We don't understand that. We kick against that, in fact.
No, we fight because...
We fight.
You know, God, why did you let this happen? Why did you let this person die? And you know... The whole thing, you know, we'll never know this side of heaven.
No.
A lot of things. But if you trust in him, if you've spent time with him and you know his nature, you know that he's not that God that's
beating you up. And that's why we're doing this series on goodness and grace and glory, because God is good. That's what it's all about. We just sang at the nursing home that old favorite, God is so good. God is so good. And, you know, we purposely, intentionally sing certain songs at the nursing home. Number one, we repeat them a lot so that they begin to learn them. Mm-hmm. But also, it's intentional that it's coming out of their mouths. God is good. Mm-hmm. God loves me. We sing Jesus loves me all the time, don't we, Madeline? Mm-hmm. And we do that purposefully. Do you want to comment on that? I'm all about that word purposeful and intentional today. Do you realize that?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a purposeful, intentional year. You know, not a haphazard, random selder-skelder year.
That's good. That's a good way. That's a good thing that we should be focusing on. And, you know, at the nursing home, I mean, we see a lot of probably despair. We see a lot of people who aren't participating in their lives, whether they can or they can't, you know, physically, too, is we don't know. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I mean, we see these people in a lot of ways come to life during that 45 minutes. I mean, however small... They're smiling.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of them are singing. Some of them are moving. You know,
yeah, playing tambourines and maracas.
Yeah, we give out some percussion instruments.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about. I mean, how could you stay in a negative place if you're physically mouthing words, even if you're just mouthing them? If you're saying, "God, I love you. God loves me," and you know all these great songs. It's going to uplift you, whether you know it or not.
Absolutely,
it is. And that's why you always say, you know, if you're home or wherever you are, just start praising God. Because even if you're in a bad place, you know, even if you're feeling glum and, you know, you're crying, start it and you'll get out of it.
Amen. And I mentioned in my sermon this morning that, and it is, our songs that we choose for the worship time at Beacon of Hope are powerful. They're wonderful. But they're intentional. And they're going to become more intentional. And today we were singing, "Show Me Your Way, That I May Walk With You." My voice is shot, folks, after all that this morning and at the nursing home. But then we went into, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." And I just got a cramp in my leg. Open the eyes of my heart. And, you know, it's intentional when we are singing those words. Right, Madeline? Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to comment on that while I stand up?
Well, I mean, all, you know, everything that comes out of our mouth, you know, we talk about that too. You know, what we say, what we put out there, that's what we're seeking. So when we sing those words to those songs, I mean, we're putting it out there and God is just responding tenfold.
Ugh, absolutely.
Yeah,
Connie, comment on that.
You know, well, I was thinking with the, it's amazing to me to see these people in the nursing home. All we're doing is being the light to them. You know, just like that song said, I'm learning to be the light.
I'm learning to be the light.
And it's...
Just love them. Touch them.
Yeah.
They like to be touched. They like to be hands shaken, you know. And
I mean,
they reach
out
their hands to us, you know.
Can you imagine being in a nursing home and never having anybody tell them that they love them or care about them or hug them? You know, just a hug.
Right.
I don't think you can put a price or a value on a simple hug for somebody.
And think about the blessing we each receive when we go there the first Sunday of every month. Mm-hmm. You know, any of you out there want to join us, it's 1:30 on the first Sunday of each month for 45 minutes at Palm Garden in Clearwater and at the corner of Curlew and McMullen Booth. There you go. Anyway, today we were singing, oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, singing it to them that we love them. And it was it's so cool to see their faces light up.
When you look in their eyes and sing it to them and right. hold their hand and hug them and just love on them, you know.
They're amazing.
So many people are so lost in this world. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So God's intentional, and Madeline and Connie, we've been listening a lot to Graham Cook's CDs, and he's a wonderful teacher of the Word, and he keeps pointing out in those CDs how intentional God is.
You know, I was thinking maybe you should define intentional.
Intentional is purposeful. You know, when God says, "I'm doing this for a reason," okay. Mm-hmm. It's like God intentionally said, let there be light. Mm-hmm. You know, God intentionally sent his son Jesus to this earth to be born as a babe, die on a cross. That was part of the plan. That was intentional. Okay. Do you want to amplify on that?
Yeah. Well, as you were saying that, I had some thoughts thinking that, you know, we probably need to be more intentional when we say, you know, things like, you give us instruction maybe from a Bible study or faithful leaders, you know, learn James 1, 16 and 17 for this week. You know, we need to really take that to heart, not just say it. We
right.
need to be more intentional.
Exactly.
You know, we really need to take what our, you know, this is opening up a huge floodgate in my mind. So
go
pardon
ahead, go
me while
it.
It's
go
just
ahead,
you know, spinning
go
out
ahead.
Of control. Well, it's just making me think, boy, it's just another level of what we need to be doing. You know, we show up and I believe that our, you know, the people that are at Beacon of Hope are there with, you know, full hearts and their intentions are good, but we need to take that intention to the next level and
yes,
really
we do.
Decide, especially now that we're starting a new year and you
yes.
know we're kind of on a new mission. You know, we want to expand the church and such. We really need to be intentional. I think that we need to like just outline for ourselves, everybody individually, what we want to be doing
yes.
and really follow through, not just talk.
Yes.
You know, decide what, you know, and of course by, you know, going to God with that and opening our minds and saying, God, you know, I really want to be more intentional. How can I do that? You know,
exactly.
show me what I need to be
instead
doing.
Instead of just haphazard.
I don't want to just lip service and
right.
not follow through.
I think so often we procrastinate and we think, well, I will get more dedicated to God or I will get more serious about God soon.
Will, right. And without
yeah.
putting it, you know what? We need to put dates on things.
We
right?
do.
We treat him like a hobby. Mm. You know, when I get around to it, I'm going to do this. And, you know, if I have a little time here, then I'll spend time here. And, you know, it's a
exactly
hobby. God's
right.
a hobby.
Well, you know, and that's why I said this morning, the month of January, in listening audience, you can join us in this. We are studying Ephesians, and it's only 6 chapters. And we're going to read it through as many times as everybody can. And I'm going to, I forgot to get to this morning, have a date book and write down, you know, how many times you read the book of Ephesians in the month of January. The book of Ephesians is a huge, it's just an absolute beautiful book on growing up in God, going from just sitting, where are we seated, to walking out the promises and standing on those promises. And sit, walk, stand. It's an amazing, amazing book. And so we intentionally throw that out to you, listening audience. Join us at Beacon of Hope this month as we read and study Ephesians. Oh, we got to do some station ID there, Cedric. And all right.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
All right. Welcome back. Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life. Our engineer Bill is out with back surgery, so we miss him. And
pray for him.
But it's an answer to prayer because he's been needing that surgery. Yes. So we speak mercy and peace and health and healing to Bill. We love him. He's a part of our team. And this wonderful, beautiful guy in there in the control room today is handling the show perfectly. So
great job
there, Cedric.
Come on back, Elroy.
Yeah, Elroy the traffic boy. We miss you. So we're talking about the intentionality of God on this New Year's Day of 2012, and Nana's eating a Hershey's bar, and
a big one too.
Yeah, and it's,
and
like, wow, you know,
it.
Nan's eating a Hershey bar, and we're
and we're starving over here,
and and there's no chocolate over here, and that's okay. No, that's all right. I'm just teasing you. Just pointing out that you are intentionally eating a chocolate bar. It's intentional. Yes. And so anyway, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. That's right. And beside me is Connie Farmer. And to my left is Madeline Ercolano. And both of you have been a part of Beacon of Hope for a number of years. And we are in our 11th year now. And we're excited about what God's doing. So excited about the word. I love it because, you know, having pastored for 30 some years or more now, I can't even remember. There's been so many times that I preach a sermon and just like, seems like people are just, okay. And it's not that way at Beacon anymore, is it, Madeline? It's just not. There is intention. People are intentionally listening.
Seems that way. If they're not, they're putting on a good front. But yeah they're,
was it ever
Wednesday
that?
Nights are huge.
No.
Wednesday nights are bigger than ever, and people are, you know, participating and, you know, asking questions that are, you know, you could tell that they're into it and they want to know more. And I know Faithful Leaders is starting up again next week, and I
Thursday,
can't wait for that.
7 o'clock.
That's my favorite.
Is it your favorite?
Yeah.
I've really been working on it. We are studying the book of Nehemiah and how it parallels the book of Philippians. And I worked on it several hours yesterday, and I am so excited for this Thursday at 7 o'clock. You do not have to be a part of Beacon of Hope to come to Faithful Leaders. It's an intense hour and a half twice a month. And when you think about that, can you give 3 hours a month to an intense Bible study? Because that's really all it is. And, of course, there's some homework, of course. But,
of course,
it's just that's Thursday nights. Every other Thursday, my teaching days. Every other Thursday, 7 o'clock, Beacon of Hope, we get up about 8:30. That's Faithful Leaders. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, is Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Connie, what happens on Sunday morning at Beacon at 10 o'clock every week?
At 10 o'clock?
Yeah, at 10 o'clock.
We have church service.
Service, right? Yeah, worship service.
I forget because I'm there usually at 8:30 till
exactly
12:30.
Yeah, because the praise band does practice at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. But
so if you want to come and get doubly blessed, come for the rehearsal,
right,
and then stay for the service, and then you can get blasted twice.
And you know, it's so cool what God was doing this morning in the service is that there were things happening musically that were not planned, and I love it when the Holy Spirit just does some things. Nathan wrote a song in the service just as we were worshiping God. I love those
and
things.
And DL complimented it with a verse, and then you did a verse.
Exactly. How weird was all of that? And I bet we don't have any of that on tape. But it was wild what God was doing. Yes, it was. It was just a powerful, powerful time. So we welcome you to Beacon of Hope in Clearwater, Florida. We are we are on Almerton Road, actually right off of 275. Take the Almerton exit. We welcome you 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, Wednesday night at 7. We have a prayer line. Madeline, what happens with the prayer line? And tell them how they can be a part of it and how they can actually participate with their prayer needs.
Well, I know you can write, is it prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com? Okay, I got the email address down finally. Mm-hmm. And you can send in your prayer requests, and there are people who read those and then send them out to the prayer warriors who will pray for your concerns, and you can send them in specifically by naming names, or you can just send in just a general need, whatever, you know, whatever's on your heart, and we will definitely be praying for you. We take it seriously, and we actually love doing it.
Miracles this past year. Huge miracles.
Lots and lots.
Miracles.
Lots and lots. And Pastor Jim logs all those. So we have a notebook that's just full of the answers to prayer. If you have a prayer need, and a lot of times when we say that on the show, then somebody during the week that has listened to the show will write a prayer request, and we had that happen. We've had that been happening even from other countries. So we welcome you no matter where you are when you listen to this show on our website or at any time. You can write prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries, ends in IES, ministries.com, and send your request. If you want to be on the prayer team, just write a little note saying, put me on the prayer team, and you will be. And there's no obligation for that. But, you know, financially, if you want to give and plant seed into the gospel, we don't mention this very often, and part of that is because I think a lot of us have been burnt out through the years of ministries that are constantly begging for money. God has always met our needs at Beacon of Hope, but we are going to expand in the next 4 months, and finances are needed. I'm telling you that. Finances are needed. And you can go to our website and just go to PayPal there on our website and give a gift financially, and it's such a blessing when you do. And you're planting seed. Connie, talk about planting seed into the Word. I mean, that's what it's about.
We're good soil.
We are good soil.
You know, seeds, there's a parable that Jesus taught on that seeds get tossing the seeds out on dry rocks.
Yeah.
Or you can toss seeds into fertile ground.
Yes.
And we're fertile ground.
Amen.
We're based on the Bible, straight.
Totally,
straight
just
out,
the Bible.
No ifs, ands, or buts. It's all about the Word of God.
Where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. It's all about
exactly.
the Word.
So, you know, come and hear what the Word really says and learn what God really wants us to hear and what He wants us to know about Him.
Amen.
And
plant your
seed.
Plant your finances. Plant your seed. Woo, listen to this song as we start this second hour of Living the Good Life. It
it's
is entitled, I Refuse, Josh Wilson. Wow, great song. I like that. That's a great song. Is Bill still on the line? Yeah, he is. Bill, hey, we miss you, buddy.
How you doing there, Marcia McAllister?
Hey, I'm pretty good, Bill. Elroy, the traffic boy. Did you have surgery already or getting ready to?
No, I had it on Tuesday, and I want to say that trusting in him, he'll always come through for you.
Amen.
No matter what the circumstance is.
Woo! Amen. That's a truth, isn't it? Golly.
You go, guy.
It is.
We miss you.
Yeah.
Even when I was over at the VA, there is like any time, there was like a few people that God put right there to talk to me.
Praise God.
Even over there.
Praise God. Are you home?
No, I'm laying in the bed over here at St. Joe over here in Tampa.
Okay.
And let me tell you, St. Joe is a great hospital if you ever need surgery done.
Mm-hmm. When are you getting out of the hospital?
Not quite sure. Maybe after the surgery, probably maybe Thursday or Friday, maybe.
Okay. So you haven't had the surgery yet?
No, haven't had this Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Oh, okay, Tuesday. I misunderstood you. I thought you said you had it last day. Okay, then we will just lift you up in prayer.
What time Tuesday?
I don't really know, but it's going to happen.
All right, well, praise
God. If you get a chance, email us the time.
Yeah, let us know.
Maybe we can run up and see you for a little bit.
Or call
before.
Us or something. So.
Well, thank you for all your prayers there, living a good life. And
all right.
We love our Elroy.
I got one more prayer to get in there too. That's my buddy Ron Paul. So
mm-hmm. Okay, your buddy Ron Paul. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But thank you so much for what you've done for me and being so kind to me for all this time.
Yeah, we love you, Elroy. Okay, God bless you. All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministry, and hopefully you're living the good life.
Yeah.
And John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That's Jesus we're talking about. He's also the Word of God. In the book of Revelation, when he comes back in all his glory, he's going to have a sash across him that says, the Word of God. That's his name. That's who he is. Through him all things were made, Jesus. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. In him was life. In Jesus is life, dear ones. For whatever it is, you need life in your body, in your mind, in your emotions. In him is life. And that life was the light of men. The very life of God, if you are a believer today and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that life that lives in you is God himself, Jesus himself. And that life is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And in some translations, it says the darkness cannot overpower the light. So, Madeline, I got to get back to you about this because Jesus is the light. He said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. It's one of his I am statements in the book of John. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine. All these things that he said. And one of the things that Jesus said was, I am the light of the world. Okay? He walks in the light. It's not going to walk in the darkness. Here we see in John chapter 1 that the darkness cannot overpower the light. And you talked a few minutes ago in our last hour about the times in our lives that we really are walking around in darkness. Hmm. Can you amplify on that a little bit?
Well, I think it's any time that we're not walking, you know, with him and in his light, the times that we, whether it's because we don't know, like how I said earlier, I didn't know what I didn't know. Until I knew what I needed to do.
That's profound, isn't it? I didn't know what I didn't know, yeah.
And, you know, we're out there and we're, you know, facing all kinds of things. And if we're not turning to God and getting his light, then we have to be in darkness. I mean, it seems pretty simple to me. And we need to, we want to have light turned on in our lives so that we can see where we need to be going. We can hear better. We can, you know, see the path ahead of us.
Because otherwise we stumble around, don't we?
We do. We make wrong choices.
Directions. You know, I was reminded just now when you said that, I grew up in Central America. My parents were missionaries. No, I think I mentioned last week, Connie's seen it. After bringing it to church, my sister Karen did a book for my other sister Jan and I, and for our mom for Christmas, our missionary years. And it has all these pictures and letters that my dad wrote and I wrote and our grandparents and all this stuff. It's just a profound, wonderful book. But I was just, as you were saying that, it reminded me of the little town that I lived in as, you know, kind of a pre-teen years there. And when we went to church or anywhere in the evening at all, we all had to have our own flashlight. And the reason we had to have our own flashlight is because they turned the lights off in town around 7 o'clock in the evening. That was it. So you had a window of a few hours of electricity. Now, again, this was the 60s, so it was a long time ago, you know. I know you weren't born. But anyway, shut up. Anyway, but we each had to have our own flashlight because the streets were cobblestone and all the animals, the, you know, all the dogs, the horses, the cows, everything walked right down the middle of that street.
We know what
and there were all
do
kinds of presents left in the street. Okay. And I just visually remembered this just now when you were saying that, because we all had to have our own flashlight. It wasn't like one flashlight, somebody up ahead. We each, my dad made us each carry, we had a little thing on our belt or on our side that we carried our flashlight. We all had to have our own. Didn't matter how young we were, because we had to shine it right in front of us or we could step in something, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we, that's kind of a picture of our lives. We don't carry the flight and we just think, ah, that's all right. I know the street. I'll be okay.
And we're stepping in it. That's right.
Don't you think?
Get it off. Yep.
I mean, seriously, we do. We do. And when you just start talking about that, and I haven't thought about that for years, and I loved my flashlight. It was wonderful. It was a part of me for many years. I loved that flashlight. Took great big old D batteries, you know, because we had to use it every single night.
I don't think they made batteries in other sizes then.
Maybe not.
It was only just those big D ones.
Well, and you know, and to take it a step further, too, even if we're stumbling along in the dark and we're not stepping in it,
okay,
we're also not getting anything.
Right.
We're just moving.
Just stumbling.
Like I said before, not purposeful and taking whatever just comes along, you know?
Yes.
Just dealing with life as it comes along instead of having that light shine and say, okay, you know, I'm hearing God and I'm going to go this way because that's what I think God's telling me. And really participating in our lives, God life.
That goes back to hearing from God, though.
Right,
that is
course,
what God is saying right now through this series. This Wednesday night series is just going to dovetail because we've got to hear from God if we're going to really walk in the goodness, the grace, and the glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to hear from Him. Go ahead.
It's the difference between letting life happen to us and us making life happen.
Absolutely, Connie.
Being, like she said, being present, being active, being in your life,
right.
Being who you are.
Right.
And doing what God wants.
Absolutely. And so often we just go along like, okay, well, my sister has her flashlight there. I'll just use the light from her flashlight, and I'm just not going to take mine tonight. And my dad was always really big about that. Everybody carries their flashlight, okay? You carry your own flashlight because he knew it was too easy to step into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And we do. We try to borrow somebody else's light. Do you want to go with that?
Well, and I know for me how I turn the light on every day is
Please.
When I wake up in the morning, I just say, God, thank you and praise you for today. I just start talking. And that, to me, turns the light on for my day. And I just start going forward and I thank him for everything I have. And I thank him for Milo. And,
yes.
and I thank him for the things that I don't have yet and I'm looking for and I'm wanting in my life. And, you know, and I'm asking him to guide me through today and show me what I need to be doing and put people in my path. And, you know, and it just dovetails from there. And
yes.
it's amazing what will happen to you when you ask for all of that, when you're participating in your life. And then you see as your day unfolds.
It is, isn't it?
You know, whereas I could just get up and, oh, it's another day. I wonder what's going to happen to me today. I don't know.
Right, exactly. Right. Oh, that was a good snore. Yeah, there. That was really good. Yeah, Con.
Well, you know, so many times people who come to church try to use the pastor's light.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, that's good.
Teaching, pastor, you
Man,
know.
That's a poem.
And they come on Sunday, you know, to get the light from pastor. And then by Wednesday, it's already... Actually, by Monday, most of the time, it's already starting to get dim.
Yes.
Dim, 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 dim.
Yes.
And then so instead of realizing that all they got to do is hook into the power source
Woo, praise
for their
God.
Own light bulb.
Praise God.
They wait And then finally, if they get back there Sunday, or, you know, it might be too dark for them to get there. So they got to wait till the following Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're really dark.
Right.
It's really been dark for them for almost 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, so then they got to plug in again.
Right.
Using your light to try to get where they're supposed to be going. And they just, you know, they won't take responsibility and accountability.
Boy, that's good. That's good.
To plug in.
Exactly.
And to stay plugged in.
Right.
And, you know, it's not like you can use a real long extension cord.
Right. That's good. That's good. And so often we get all so much effort to read the word. It's just hard to go to
church. I can't get there.
I just don't feel like it. And that's because that revelation of God is not right down in there where, you know, where we're saying like David, you know, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 outside. You know, I'd rather be in the house of the Lord, you know?
If you're plugged into God and you're praying and you're talking to him and you're reading the word, there aren't those devastating times all the time that you have to call pastor, call you to pray for me because I'm in a mess, you know, I've stepped in it.
Right.
Whatever. You know, there's so many people, I think, that call somebody else to pray and just stop instead of just stopping
and
praying.
Walking in there. Yes. And exercising their own authority.
Right.
And this is part of what we're going to talk about in this Wednesday night series is us getting the guts to move forward in the prayer life that God has told us we need to be walking in instead of just laying down and giving up. Listen to this song about mercy. I love this song. That's What Mercy Is by New Song.
It's a blue sky morning. It's a new day dawning. It's a million miles from a past that's haunted you forever. It's a prayer that's answered. It's a second chance for a life you never, ever even dreamed that you could live. That's what mercy is. It's a hand that reaches down and lifts you up again. That's what mercy is. It's a word forgiven, shouted straight from heaven to a heart that's broken from the only one who'll make it whole again. It's a song of freedom, sung for all who listen. There's a door wide open, saying all you weary souls, come right on in. That's what mercy is. It's a hand that reaches down and lifts you up again, no matter where you've been. That's what mercy is. It's a voice that's calling out, come back home again. You can come back. That's what mercy is.
Praise God, praise God. That's what mercy is. I love that song. That's what it's all about. Madeline, God's goodness. It's his mercy to us. You know, mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. You know, grace is when we get what we don't deserve. And grace is God's unmerited favor. You know, when we just have blessing after blessing, mercy is when we don't get the punishment we deserve. Okay? So, you know, that's what mercy is. God, a hand that reaches down to us. By the way, we've got internet up now, and you can write us if you want to here before the end of the show, pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. So, Madeline, God's mercy in this talk about his goodness. Isn't mercy? I love the picture of the tabernacle of Moses, okay? One of the pieces of furniture in there, in the holy place, is the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. The top of it is the mercy seat, okay? And it speaks of God's mercy to us that's what it's all about. That God is on that Ark of his covenant. It's all about his mercy, okay? I mean, woo, I don't know about you, but that just blesses me, because as we enter this new year, we need his mercy. We need his goodness. We need his grace. We need these things that we're talking about. You want to comment on all that?
Usually in my morning prayers, that's the things I thank him for, too, is his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness.
Yes.
His all these gifts that we get for nothing.
Like right.
Like you said, we don't have to do anything. He just gives them to us. And it also reminds me that, you know, I have to give that to other people, so that when I need it from God, he's going to, you know, reach out and say, hey, no problem, you know, because you're doing what you need to do. And we need to we need to be incorporating that gift that he gives us and pay it forward and give that to others, because like we say, it's usually all about love. I think it's about love and mercy and grace and kindness and forgiveness and just all those things that sometimes are really difficult to practice, because, you know, we get ornery sometimes, and we're human, and we don't want to forgive this one or that one, or we don't want to give that one mercy.
We want to hang on to that grudge.
Deserve, you know, they deserve something. But, you know, hey, I know how much I appreciate that every day my slate is wiped clean by God.
Oh, yes.
And I am really grateful for that, because, you know, sometimes I do some things or say some things that I'm not happy with. And, you know, and I try to, of course, work on that purposefully every day, because I have to think about it.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful that God gives me all of that.
Oh.
And that helps me to say, hey, I need, you know, in small steps and increments every day, I try to just think about it and practice it wherever I can. And because I want that.
Oh.
And I'm so thankful that, you know, that he's all about that.
He's all about mercy and kindness. Connie, what you thinking there?
Oh, that's that song. The first time I ever heard it, it makes me bawl every time, or cry every time, whatever you want to say. But, you know, when that one verse, when it starts out, it's the word forgiven shouted straight from heaven.
Woo! That's what mercy is. The word forgiven shouted straight from heaven.
Even the word. I mean, the song says the word forgiven, but it's forgiveness shouted straight from heaven.
Yes, yes. And that is what Jesus did on the cross.
Yes.
And he enabled us to be able to come boldly to his throne and receive mercy in time of need. And Jesus is all about forgiveness. He's all about letting us realize that we can walk away from something and cancel the debt. He canceled the debt. I love that old chorus we used to sing many years ago at my church in Indiana. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace.
I love it.
Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. I mean, that's what it is. Oh, I've been singing all day and my throat is shot, but that's it right there. He paid a debt that I couldn't pay.
Right.
You know,
he didn't deserve it.
Yeah,
but he did it for us,
and that's the good news of the gospel. Oh,
and
comment on
that. If I was the only person on earth ever,
right,
he would have done it just for me. He loves everybody the same, no matter what you've done. There is nothing
right.
that you can do in this world that would take you away from the love of God.
Well, I remember last week on the air when Nan and I were on here with Carol, we were talking about the shepherds and how the angel comes and announces to them, this is good tidings of glad joy for everyone. Mm-hmm. It says but in that, everyone.
And I love the part when you guys were saying that he came to the shepherds first.
Yes,
he didn't come
cool?
to the president of the United right. States or the president of some country. He came to the shepherds.
Yes, he did. And the lowly shepherds, which was considered a very menial job. It was not a prestigious job.
Right. And we used that song, Shepherd Boy.
Yeah, I love that
which,
song.
You know, God may, Ooh. You know, people may see just the shepherd.
Right.
But God sees a king.
Yes.
In David.
That was last week's show, and it's on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Go
Fantastic
listen to it if
show.
You missed it. It was a great show for Christmas. And mm-hmm. that story applies year-round, though. It doesn't yes. have to be Christmas. Comment on all that. Madeline.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. Definitely that it's all year-round. I mean, I like that thought that, you know, we'd only have to apply these things, you know, during the holidays or,
right.
you know, which
even
is kind
though
of,
some
I think,
people do.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that a lot of times people, you know, the holidays kind of bring out behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
like, again, that kind of goes back to like church on Sundays where there's appropriate times or times of year. And, you know, I think that what Connie said before was really cool about, you know, using the pastor's light on Sunday. And also, you know, taking that Sunday and trying to stretch that until the next Sunday mm-hmm. because maybe you're not going to be communicating with God during the week, you know, and I think I've definitely, that's what I mean too. I kind of live my life like, you know, a sheep, just, you know, going throughout my day, not purposeful. Okay, everything will be taken care of on Sunday. I don't have to worry about anything during the week. And
boy, that's huge, Madeline.
I'll go on Sunday and
that's
you know, say my prayers. Mm-hmm. And
they leave their Bible in the car
and
so they don't
know
forget
any
it.
Better.
Yeah.
Not, it
yeah.
well, at the time, I don't think it was because I was lazy. Whereas now, I mean, there are times where, you know, sometimes you just want to plop down and watch TV and not think.
Sure.
You know,
and
you make
brain
that choice.
And
now,
that's okay for times. I mean,
well,
but. Yeah.
Of course. But I mean, now I know better.
Right.
I know I
yes.
can listen. Did I do
yes.
what I needed to do
yes.
today? Before, I feel like I didn't know better. Even if maybe it was out there, I wasn't getting it. You know, mm-hmm. now I know. So the choices I make are much more purposeful.
And
how many times are we going to say that?
I love it. Keep saying it, girl.
See,
that's it right there.
And see, that's what happens when you become in the knowledge.
Yes.
Then you're accountable.
Yes.
And responsible for maintaining yeah. where you're supposed to be.
That's where that personal responsibility
mm-hmm.
comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And when the light is shed on a truth or truth, a lot of truth in general, it is our responsibility to walk in that light mm-hmm. as he is in the light, mm-hmm. you know? And we so often, though, think, I like that thought, Madeline, so often we put it off until next Sunday or we think, you said, Connie, here a minute ago, I'm going to go back to this point. So many people leave their Bible in the car all week, so they don't forget it for next Sunday.
Right.
But the problem is...
I won't need this week. I'll just wait till next Sunday.
Right. You but know, the problem is, then it's not being used. And we're really declaring war on that this year, right. 2012, at Beacon, because people were going to use our Bibles. If you don't have a Bible that you understand, go buy yourself a Message Bible. I agree with Madeline. I teach out of the mm-hmm. Message Bible. I love the Message Bible. It's a modern day translation and is actually pretty accurate. It really is.
Yes.
And yet it's saying it the way we talk, not the way they talked in the 1600s when King James Bible was translated, although there's nothing wrong with that.
No offense, Nan,
who loves the King James and all of you out there who do, there's nothing wrong with that. But for
right.
those people
I just can't
who
get
need
it
that
King James.
Yeah,
I
they need it in more modern day. NIV is an excellent Bible, so is New American Standard, and there's a lot of great Bibles out there, English Standard Version. But the point is, get yourself something that you're going to read, that you're going to cherish. I cherish my Bibles. I mean, I do. I just love this little green NIV that I got last year, and I just have marked it all up.
It was a profitable thing for you sometimes.
It was like $9, I think it was. You know, but I just love this little Bible, and I carry it with me like on the plane when I travel. Mm-hmm. It's right there in my little backpack, and I just love it. And we should love our Bibles.
But I just can't see how you can see that print. Because I can't.
Hey, it's pretty
even
little.
With bifocal contacts, I can't see it.
I can. But, you know, we need to fall in love with our Bibles. We need to understand this is the living. Hebrews 4:12 says it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and able to get down in there and divide the crud out of us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yep. It's able to get down in there and kind of do spiritual surgery and emotional surgery on the inside of us. That's what Paul says in Hebrews 4:12. And he says it's able. It's living and active. What does that mean, Madeline? Living and active. Living and active.
That it is applicable today. It is true today. It is all good for today. Just because it was written back in the day does not mean that it doesn't apply to us today. So everything that's in there is for us.
It is.
For today.
It
is. Alive.
It's alive. And so we have a responsibility, and that is to get in it and read it and listen to it, whatever it takes to get it down on the inside of you. And as we said a little while ago, this month at Beacon of Hope is Goodness, Grace, and Glory Month.
I thought you were going to say Goodness Gracious.
Goodness Gracious Month, yes. Goodness, Grace, and Glory Month, which means we're studying the book of Ephesians. And so why don't you join us out there in Radio Land and read Ephesians, 6 chapters. Read it over and over again. You may want to write it in your date book every time you complete the reading of those 6 chapters. Mark your Bible up. I feel, you know, I have always done that. I mean, when you look at my Bible, I remember Julie took a video of my Bible, one of the pages last year, if you remember, and we put it in a video. And it was kind of cool because my pages are very marked up because I use my Bible. In fact, my other one fell apart and I had to get a new one.
I learned
this
from
past
the
year. Yeah, look, you're marking it all up. Because when you put dates in there, when you say, yes, okay, God spoke this to me this day, it reminds you of what that, oh yeah, God did say something to me. Madeline, talk about that a minute, the importance of that, of marking and writing. And
well, first of all, I think the first thing that I think of about that, because I've started doing that as well, is that it makes it personal and yours. You know,
yes,
it makes the that, like you said, it makes you love your Bible because
yes,
you're kind of getting intimate with it, and you're
yes,
you're writing notes. And you know, I'll write in there when you're doing teaching, not only some of the things that you're telling me that, you know, I need to kind of mark so that I understand what, you know, the more in-depth study of that particular verse, but just things that come, like you said, that come to your mind, you know, as I'm reading this, how this pertains to me. And I'll, you know, and I might put a tab on that page because I want to go back to that frequently.
Exactly.
So that I can read that all the time, or I might highlight just a certain passage or make a notation of things. And it's, you know, it's an interactive thing. And that, to me, keeps it alive.
It keeps it alive.
It's your everyday. This is our word. This is our life. This is
yes,
our plan. It's
thy word is
need.
A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Mm-hmm. It's your flashlight, you know. The other day, I had my Bible open on the stand at church, and somebody came up and they looked at it and they said, oh my gosh, it's all red and green. It's Christmas colors. I don't know. I like red and green, and it shows out. You know, get some colors, whatever mm-hmm, those are. Get dry markers at the bookstore, whatever it is, whatever it takes for it to stand out. I like yellow, to let it stand out to you so that when you open it, a verse just kind of pops off the page at you. It is amazing what it'll do for you.
That's another way that God speaks to us.
Yes.
You know, if we're sitting around praying and let's say you just say, well, I'm not hearing from God. I'm not, you know, open the Bible. And how many times have we said, I've opened it and it, wow, look what that says. And it's something that's pertaining to your life right then.
It's almost like you just want to say, okay, God.
What okay, you got for
what's
me?
What's here?
Yeah. And it's amazing. You know? So often when we mark it and put a date by it and whatever, there's some passages in the Word that Haggai 2, my gosh, verses 1 through 11, that the glory of this house is going to be greater than the glory of the past. I mean, all kinds of things. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. Haggai 2, 1 through 9 is an incredible passage. And when you look at my Bibles, one Bible that I've used for years and years, God has given me that passage over and over again through the years. So what does that say? When I turn to Haggai 2, it's like, okay, God, you're reminding me one more time, something you've told me many times. So I consider this extremely important, and I better be paying attention.
Might have gotten a little off track.
Yeah. And then when we go back, you know, yes, it's just amazing. We're going to play this song that I asked Connie to put on here by Avalon, People Need the Lord. Why do people need the Lord before we do this? Why? I mean, we're talking about people need their Bible. What are, I mean, talk to me, both of you. Connie, you first, and then Madeline, before we do this song.
As far as I'm concerned, the Lord's attached to the Bible.
He is the Bible. He is the Word. Jesus is the Word. Yes.
So it's not like you just need the Bible or you just need Jesus.
No, it's all one. Yeah.
Life happens to us. And no matter what, we've got to have some kind of direction. We've got to have light. We've got to have a focus on what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
And keep track of what we're doing and somebody to keep us on the path.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
That's it. That is. It's so it. Yes, Madeline.
He's our Father. Mm. He made us. He knows exactly what we need. He knows how our life is going to go. So we need to be checking in with him all the time.
Absolutely. We need God. Cedric, let's do this song, People Need the Lord by Avalon. Praise God. Cedric, cue that up again in a few minutes. I'll tell you when and we'll use it again. Woo! I love that song. I love that song. I love that song. People need the Lord. It's what it's all about, Connie.
We need to sing that next weekend. Next Sunday at church.
All right.
I think.
Get Aaron to work on that. People need the Lord.
Hear that, Aaron?
Yeah. It's such a great song. We used it at Cornerstone in Indiana. And some of my Cornerstone people are listening right now. And that was one that we used a lot during those years back Oh, back in the 80s and 90s. Oh, Madeline, what does that song do for you? I just love that. I mean, what's it say to you, Madeline?
Well, it just says it. You know, people need the Lord. Isn't that simple?
Isn't it that simple?
I love when Connie first played that song for me. I don't know if it was here on the radio. I can't remember now. It might have been. And then she made a CD of that Avalon CD for me, which I love the whole CD.
They're great.
I need that one. I don't have that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, you know, you just think about this. I just smile because I just think it's really just not that difficult. You know, we just have to, we want a good life. Do we want to have everything that God has for us? I do.
Yes. You know? I do too.
And even though I may not be, you know, 110% every day, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm improvement.
Now I'm conscious.
Yes.
The light is on and I'm conscious. Thank God.
It's intentional.
And people see the light in you, though.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. They do. And doesn't it feel like, I was thinking about, we were at the nursing home today, and I was thinking, God just must be smiling.
Yeah.
Because his children are taking care of each other.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And we're just being together and loving each other. And that's, I mean, this is what we're supposed to be doing.
You know, and when we were doing, we mentioned it a minute ago, but I gotta go back to it. When we were doing that song, and we haven't done that song for years. You know, when we were singing to all them individually, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yeah. You know, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King. Connie's crying. And I love you with the love of the Lord. That's what it's all about. People need the Lord. We need to love them with the love of the Lord. And this year, 2012, needs to be the biggest year of intentionality that we have ever had and purpose.
This needs to come on.
This is what it needs to be, Madeline. We need to turn their light on. We have got to reach out with the love of Jesus with the intentional goal of seeing people come to their salvation, come to deliverance, come to healing in their minds, their emotions. It's got to be our intentional focus, Con. It's got to be. I mean, our counseling ministry is huge. We're believing God for more help in that. And we are believing God that he is going to provide all of that that we need at Beacon of Hope. Go ahead. Yeah. What did you start to say?
Well, I wrote down some of the lyrics that really, I mean, it says in the world where wrong seems right. And, you know, in our community, so many people think that they're going to hell in a handbasket because that's what their family or their church told them.
Right.
And I'd say to you, they're wrong. And, you know, we serve a community that nobody wants in their churches.
Sure.
And we have got to get our word out.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it says we're called to share the light. And it also says at the end of broken dreams, he's the open door.
Woo! At the end of broken dreams.
Thank God.
Who can't relate to having broken dreams in your life? Having things that didn't work out the way you thought they were going to. Mm-hmm. Having marriages or relationships that didn't work out the way you wanted them to. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. Madeline.
Thank you. Thank God. You know, he's no matter what happens to us, he's there.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what we do. And, you know, we were saying, you know, churches condemn us, families condemn us, but we condemn ourselves.
Right.
Because we think we've committed whatever sins that we've been told or read in the past that, you know, this is it for you. You're done. But we've got to let people know that God will forgive you if you want that forgiveness.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to pray for you, dear radio audience, right now, and then we're going to do this song again in a moment. Dear God, we come before you right now. We come before you in faith, believing that you hear our prayers, that you hear when we call to you. Lord, your word says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard my cry. My cry came before him into his ears. That's Psalm 18, verse 6. And David said that. And so, Lord, in our distress, we come before you. There are people out there in Radio Land that are listening today and that will listen in the future on our website that need you, God. We come before you right now as a radio team, believing you for a huge year of miracles, salvations, deliverance, healings, whatever it takes in people's lives to see so many come to a new awareness and a new relationship with with you. God, that is our goal. That is our intention. We want to stay focused this year on what you want done in each of our individual lives and in the lives of all those that we minister to on this radio show. God, we give you glory and praise. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for all the blessings of this radio station. We thank you for Dave and Lola. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to be on here almost 5 years now. We give you the glory and the praise. Every single week you pay the bill, God. Some weeks we don't even know how you're going to do it. And you do it. You always do it. And so, God, we give you the glory and the praise that the Word of God is living big in all of us, and Jesus is Lord, and we give out the Word of God on Living the Good Life. And so, Lord, today we plant seeds in people's lives. Let them receive what you have for them today. Lord, if there's some out there that need salvation, let them turn to you right now and receive you as their personal Lord and Savior by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that you forgive our sins and our trespasses, and you don't count them against us. And so, Lord, we just reach out in love to every single one listening or who will listen. And Lord, we invite them to get closer to you, and we choose intentionally to refocus our commitment to you on this January 1, 2012. We intentionally know that you have a plan for our lives, and we are going to fulfill it in this year. Oh my, praise God. If you need to talk to any of us individually, you can write me personally and I will respond. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Pastor Jim is pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com. I'm just pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And so listen to this song again. It's so wonderful by Avalon. People need the Lord.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go. To fear.
Praise God. I love that song. Woo! Connie, Madeline, do you have a final thought, each of you? We just got a couple minutes.
Intentionality.
Ooh.
That's my word for the day.
That's it. That's it.
I like it.
Say what I mean and follow through.
Absolutely.
Since this is New Year's and everybody makes resolutions.
Right.
Make realistic resolutions and live up to them.
Right.
Be accountable.
Right.
Be responsible for following through.
Yes.
And make God one of those responsibilities.
Yes. Woo! Praise God. Personal responsibility, your walk with the Lord. It's always good to have you join us on this radio show every Sunday live. We are in our fifth year, getting ready to have a great big old celebration in April to celebrate year number five. It's going to be fantastic. And I think we're on show number 245 or something like that. It's something like there. I don't know.
247.
Just 247. Amazing what God has done. Milo, where'd he go? Is he asleep?
Well, he's resting.
All right, he's resting. All right, he's over here, this little white dog. He can be on the show next time. You know, what a joy that you all listen, and we invite you to share the knowledge about this radio show with your friends. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. We'll bring him up. Let's hear him. Beaconofhopeministries.com. You can catch the past shows, and there's Milo. Get him on camera.
Is he on camera?
I don't know. Is he on camera? We shut it off. Let's see. Yeah, he's on. Cedric says he's on. There's Milo. And Milo's Madeline's baby. He's a white Pomeranian. He's a sweetheart. And he ministered at the nursing home mightily today to all those people. And he ministers to us on a weekly basis at Beacon of Hope. So greet Milo. And he's a blessing.
He is.
So our prayer line is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Write a prayer request. Our services are Sunday morning at 10, Wednesday night at 7. Faithful Leaders is at 7 on Thursday night. If you want to come and be a part of that intense teaching, you are welcome. And always remember, we are live 4 o'clock on this radio station, which, of course, now is expanded into several other states and on the web around the globe. So tell somebody about Living the Good Life, and we're glad you've joined us today. And people need the Lord, so let's be praying about that this week.
Right.
And join us again next Sunday at 4 o'clock. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, my good buddies over here, Connie and Madeline. It's not far to Jesus.
Yeah.
God bless you from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Have a great week on this New Year's Day 2012. God bless you. Tune in again next week, 4 o'clock. Woo! People need the Lord.
His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no